From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest lights that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Welcome everyone to episode 27 of Flashpoint. It's a bit of a nice, leisurely, laid-back one after our massive episode 26, where we caught up with BioWare's Stephen Reed. Stephen's well and truly left us, but the three true celebrities are still here with me. And in order, I'm going to say hello to Ed. How you going, Ed?
Did you just call me a celebrity?
Well, in a sort of...
Ooh, that's an insult. Man, you're insulting me. You're calling me a celebrity. I'm not crazy.
In a D-grade porn star sort of way, you're a celebrity. Simon, how are you?
I am very well, sir. And if we're celebrities, we're actually way further down than Kathy Griffin. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's not
sad.
That's true. And then last but definitely not least, the man sitting in one of the hottest cities in Australia right now, Mr. Mark Duncan. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm melting.
Yeah, so out of a sense of humanity, you may hear when Mark talks a little bit of background noise, but I'm not going to tell anyone in 35 plus degree heat to not have their air conditioner on. So put up with it, folks.
He's melting. He's melting. Ah!
Exactly. Not nice. So let's jump into it and start off with some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
So just probably talking about 2 weeks ago, it was a bit of a big one. We had lots of really interesting answers from Stephen Reed, I think it's fair to say. We're keeping someone up.
Sorry. Please don't beat me. I just woke up.
That's all right. You're allowed to. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff. And we'll talk a little bit further on one of the answers that ended up being the most contentious and caused the most debate in the overall Star Wars: The Old Republic community, but you know, overall, guys, what stood out for you was some of the more interesting stuff. Starting with Mark,
Probably just glad to get the confirmation that the servers that they are coming out with are going to be in Australia. I know a lot of people that are on the Harbinger server that are planning a move to the Aussie servers when they come on live. So especially for PvP players, it's going to be good with a good ping. Obviously, your latency has a big outcome on just how good you can PvP. So, yeah, I think that's pretty good, and a lot of good response on that.
And while I think of it about the server location, someone on the Oceanic Gamers of the Oceanic Star Wars: The Old Republic Gamers Facebook page said, well, if the launch event, which we'll talk about in a minute, is in Sydney, then the servers are probably going to be located in Sydney, which is a nice theory, but we don't have any more info on that. But yeah, agree, the ping times, it's going to be nice. Simon, any standouts for you?
Really, I thought the server location being in Australia was the most significant thing. Particularly interesting because considering that Singapore is going to be running off of the same Oceanic servers, and a lot of companies do base their infrastructure in Singapore because it's so much cheaper. So it's an interesting, I suppose, note of confidence in what they think the size of the enthusiasm of the Australian community that they're actually basing the hardware here. I just think there's more in that. It's saying more than just the convenience of it.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of two things. They've either got a lot of confidence or they're wanting to see if there is growth in the region and then they'll happily expand servers elsewhere. But you're right. Mm. Either way, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And Ed, who would get the most shit ping times out of Oceanic servers, aside from them, what stood out for you?
Well, I did want to see him and the entire line of guys doing the Men in Tights song, but we're not going to get that. So, I like the idea of having servers close to you guys because of the ping times. But again, it's gonna mess me up. I'll probably create a whole new character to join your guild again, Mark, when I can get back onto the game. But that's another story that we'll talk about later.
Well, I would like to say at this point that Sith Knights is steam put. There is a number of guild members that are going to go to an Oceanic guild, but I've got too many US players to move. So, we'll be staying on the Harbinger. I have absolutely no problem with my ping to the Harbinger. It doesn't cause me any concern. I don't really PvP, so I'm actually staying put.
Okay. And that's an interesting point. I mean, we're running a poll on the website at the moment, and 85% of people are either going to shift to the Oceanic server or they're going to roll their first tune on an Oceanic server. But, there's a solid 15% there, roughly, that are saying, no, not interested in moving, happy where we are. And, the international guilds tend to be the guy. I mean, even I'm reluctant. I'm obviously going to swap because, I write about Australian and New Zealand players, so I'd be, pretty stupid not to be on an Oceanic server. But otherwise, I don't see why I'd bother.
Well, one of the things that I loved about Star Wars Galaxies was the community. It was about the only thing I loved about the game. But the people make the game. Lots of people seem to think it's just the graphics or the PvP or whatever. It's the people that make an online game. And changing a guild, I've had one guild so far that just sort of, up and quit, and it hurt. It almost literally hurt.
Where did it hurt?
Don't ask.
Okay. Might need to get that looked at. So anyway,
it might have hurt in the shower, possibly.
I was about to say, Ed's follow-up comment about wanting all the guys at BioWare to dance in the Men in Tights stuff, I've had a big increase in people emailing asking about Ed's shower cam address after him constantly talking about Men in Tights. So you can make of that what you will.
It's a movie.
Yeah, no, I know.
And not one that I'm in.
You're in the movie.
I'm not.
Well, you can't see his face, but that's not what people are looking at anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
If you guys make me sing, I'm going to...
No, no risk of that.
I'm just sing something totally inappropriate.
Yeah, definitely no risk of asking you to sing.
Well, Men in Tights is appropriate, though, because when you think about it, that's what most of the characters in the game are wearing.
True.
Or some pretty tight joppers there.
I'm wearing a dress, but that's what conchulas do, or sages do, and with the most ridiculous headgear, but I won't start on that.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are just absolute. Someone needs to be shot.
Yeah, there's some bad designs there. But anyway, so again, a big thank you to Stephen Reed for that. It was a good Q&A, and I said we'll talk more about that later with one of the more contentious ones. The other big news over the last fortnight really has revolved around the patches. So patch 1.1.4 went live last Tuesday, and then they released the patch 1.1.5 notes yesterday, and we're assuming that'll go live with Tuesday's maintenance, but that's not totally clear at this stage. It may not. And the standout for me is that 1.1.5 has become quite a short list of changes. So it's obvious that they're starting to really nail a lot of the big bugs to the wall, and not needing to balance things quite as much or rebalance things. So yeah, I'm encouraged by that. But starting with you, Ed, any things from the patch notes, or have you noticed, improved performance before your subscription ran out?
Well, I like the fact that they fixed the stuck thing on Ilum, because that was probably one of the most abused things I've seen. That you hit stuck from the med bay and suddenly you're teleported back to where you died in the middle of a fight, and you have full health, full shields, all that other stuff. That was one of the most annoying exploits I've seen in the game. Other than that, not really. There's some small things that I had never encountered. But then I'm not really a hardcore player right now. I've got too many real life things going on, and of course the subscription ran out, and the bank decided that my debit card didn't need to work anymore.
Jeez, yeah, that's sad.
A little annoyed with them. I think I'm going to go Darth Vader on them. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
You're just going to have to spend more time in the shower.
Yeah, that's right. Earn some more money. Now, I want to throw to the next person that wasn't clicking their mouse madly, looking up the patch notes, going, shit, what have I got to say about this before David asked me? So who wasn't clicking their mouse when Ed was answering?
I wasn't.
There you go. Well,
well, I most certainly wasn't.
That was me. Sorry, guys.
Okay, was Ed while he was talking. Excellent. All right, Mark, you next then.
Well, I know when I was looking at the patch notes, I mean, you know, one thing we've all been waiting for is the French version of the DARS title's been fixed. I mean, how long have we been waiting for that?
Amen, brother. Amen.
And the portable holodancer, that was another big one.
Like, one thing I think that is kind of cool is the pre-order crystal. They've kind of upped it to end-game levels and added a vendor on the fleet so that you can actually still use your pre-order crystal endgame, which is kind of cool because, let's be honest, it didn't really last long, did it, before it was replaced?
About an hour.
Yeah, so like that's kind of cool.
See, I'm now super embarrassed to say I've still got my pre-order crystal on my lightsaber and I'm level 34.
Oh, dear.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it is. I suppose it's just I'm not obviously optimizing my stats.
See, I probably changed it real quick because I took Artifice, so I was making a lot of crit crystals, and upgraded quite a bit.
Oh, I'm embarrassed.
You guys and your Globats, give me a blaster. I mean, give me a blaster rifle. Yeesh.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things with the lightsabers for the DPS class is not the tank, like the single-handed lightsabers, is they do crap damage anyway. They're not your first point of weaponry anyway. Which I wish they were. Actually, we'll talk about that another week. I'd like to know what we think about that. I personally think the lightsaber should be the number one thing for, say, a consular, but now you don't tend to use it unless you have to.
I mean, obviously Sith Warriors do, but I don't know. I don't know what like they are now. I mean, with my Marauder, I do stacks of damage with my Sabers, to be honest. But I'm using two of them, but... I know back in beta, I did a Sith Warrior Juggernaut, and I did the DPS tree, and I thought it was really poor. So, yeah, they could definitely do some work on the old sabers, I think.
Yeah, but particularly for the single-handed ones. I think you're right, the doubles do not too bad. Simon, anything about 1.14 or 1.15? So I know you were excited about the Holodancer in particular.
And a slash version command. I mean, I almost wet myself when I saw that. I thought... About time. Well, I just wish they would stop finagling with the global cooldown appearance. I mean, enough already. Why do they keep playing with that? It's just ridiculous. It's the least necessary thing they could be fussing around with.
Because people were complaining about it significantly because, you know, you press a button and nothing happens. You press a button and nothing happens. You press a button and nothing happens. Oh, it's still on cooldown. That might be why nothing is happening.
So you just remember the timings for the cooldowns. Is that so difficult?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a supporter of that.
They have changed every patch, haven't they?
But that means you have to think.
Oh, yeah, good point. Well, at least now we've got a variety of ways of inducing epilepsy in people, so that's good. That's nice.
Exactly.
As far as 1.1.5 goes, I can't help wondering if some of these, the lists have gotten a bit shorter because a lot of, maybe there's a bunch of stuff being saved up for 1.2. I mean, you hear the phrase Jesus patch bouncing around, and I can't help wondering if that's what 1.2 is. It's what everyone's hoping it's going to be. It's the 1.2. No, that worked better in my head. Forget I said that. The other thing I suppose that I think in 1.1.5 that's a good thing to see is a new shaded setting that they're introducing very low.
Oh, for the lower models, yeah. Yeah,
for the lower models or people that have just got really bad frame rates for whatever reason.
Which makes really good business sense because, you know, the more people that can potentially buy the game, the better. So, yeah, it is good to see. I worry about what it'll look like, but then I'm only running on sort of medium shading and it looks pretty damn good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think once you get caught up in the game, I'm not sure that you really tend to notice. The brain's very good at filling in gaps.
Yes. Except for the cooldowns.
Except for the cooldowns.
So, yeah, no, you raise an excellent point on the shorter list, whether they're saving for 1.2, and I'm sure they are to some respect, particularly some of the more complex fixes that need to still occur. So, and then as with the bigger content patches, it's always interesting to see what further bugs are then created from them.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least this Tuesday at this stage, it's a four-hour close down instead of the 7 hours for the patch last week. So I know there's been a lot of patching, but it's starting to ease off a bit. And I said the lists are getting shorter. And I haven't seen a lot of rumours around when 1.2 is hitting us, but I assume it's still a few weeks off.
Yeah, probably.
I think they're still talking about, or the popular opinion is it's going to be sometime in March. I'm happy to wait and see what happens.
Agreed. So that's the patches. One thing I didn't put on the running sheet, but it's been interesting, is they're up to their third week of community Q&As. And I've been impressed about the amount of information disclosed around them. So we ran a post on the site from yesterday's Q&A, and I'm trying to think what was in that particularly piqued my interest. But there's some, if you're really wanting to get the plans for the future, that they are disclosing a bit. And they talked about the LFG tool, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but there's a few other things. Oh, God, I can hear it coming already. So anyway, let's move on to, for locally, the Oceanic launch. So obviously this Thursday is the very historic date of March the 1st when the game officially launches locally, and officially really given is a bit of a nonsense given that, you know, you can buy the game anywhere pretty much in Australia now and a lot of people are playing. But it's happening on the 1st of March. Hopefully prior or on that day we should know a lot more about the servers, server names, how the transfers will work, and all of that sort of stuff. And we'll obviously cover that in detail on the site. So the only thing happening on the 1st is a Sydney-based press launch. So I'm going along to that, and I'm assuming there's going to be, you know, 30 to 50 games journalists and related people who are going to be showing the game, probably see the cinematics, have BioWare's Gabe Amatangelo, who's the PvP lead designer, give a bit of a talk and then do interviews with selected people, which selected people meaning anyone that probably asked to, of which we're one. So we'll definitely be sitting down with Gabe and firing some questions at him based on stuff provided by the community. And we've already got half a dozen good questions to ask, so which is probably all we'll get time for. But if you've got a question, please jump on the post about the launch and post that, and we'll do that. So, yeah, it's just going to, I think it'll be a fairly low key, and the games journalists will get, you know, information about it. I know for a fact that they've been given review codes to download a freebie version for a short period of time to check out the game. And we'll start seeing some more local reviews, I would have thought, although the main sites, again, have already run reviews pretty much. So starting with you, Simon, any thoughts about the actual launch? Low-key, high-key, should have done more?
I really don't know whether there would have been any point doing anything more. I mean, as you say, most of the local game sites have already done a fairly comprehensive review. Even Good Game has done a review. So, if, you know, it's very much a case of barn doors and horses bolting.
Agreed. And just on Good Game, I mean, probably the highlight for me on Thursday is I'm hoping that one or two of those guys will be there. So I'm enough of a fan of that show, I'll be just pleased to shake their hands. So that's the sort of fanboy I am. Mark, any thoughts?
I'll be honest, my feeling on the Aussie launch is it's probably too little too late in a way. Like, I'm, you know, it's good that we're getting the servers, but I think my feeling of it is that most people that are going to buy and play the game probably already have it. I mean, you know, not only were we able to pre-order from Amazon, but both Game and EB Games have been importing copies of the game for the last couple of months. So I don't think they're going to see any dramatic sales of the game at launch day. I'm sure there will be a few people buy it, but I think most people that want it have already got it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be definitely a spike in the short term. You're right, EB Games, and interestingly, I went into EB Games last week and noticed that they'd sold out. They had the Game Time cards, but no copies available on the shelves. So I'm assuming you'll see it a little bit more available in your more bog standard, like non-chain stores, as many as they exist now. So I think there'll be a spike, but you're right, in the longer term, would have been nice to have had a launch concurrent with US and Europe, but, you know, that's old news now. So we do deal with what we can, but I'm just disappointed there's not a public event so a lot of people can come along and, you know, play a part in it, particularly the people been playing for a few months already.
Well, I'm a bit disappointed that they haven't, there's no, not even a small number of collector's editions available. So anyone who thought, I'll hang out and I'll wait for the Australian release, they've missed out.
Yeah, I agree on that. And I mean, I'm one of those. I got the standard edition. If there'd been a local one, I would have seriously considered buying it. So, but that, I'm assuming that would very much be an Electronic Arts decision, just like the regional launches and the, you know, the level of the local launch would all be in EA's hands.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, their call. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Ed, any views on... Are you flying down for the launch, like you promised? Oh,
I wish. I wish. If you could, if you guys would pay for my flight, I would. But
oh, look,
you
if
know.
Toros could play for your flight, I would more than happily fly you down. But I'm not sure my $1.98 a month Google Ads is going to cover it.
I don't think so. Oh, well. Yeah, I like the fact that they are paying attention to you guys. They're actually paying more attention to you guys than they are to us.
Yeah, which true. Is well, they will. That's right, in the short term. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Electronic Arts has finally decided that Canada is in North America, but they're not entirely sure where Canada is. They're still not sure where Canada is.
Well, I've been there once, and I'm still not sure where it is. I just got off a plane, and there it was. But that's just me.
There are so many things I could say to that, David, but you pay me, so I should not.
That's right. Atlantis.
Well, one of the problems I'm having right now is not with BioWare per se. Electronic Arts, you know, they have a very bad reputation in the gaming industry. Not quite as bad as the scum at Ubisoft.
Oh,
but,
see, I was waiting for this. I thought he's going to mention Ubisoft.
Not quite that bad. I will only confine it to one comment, and that is it. They're not quite that bad, but they have made some monumental blunders. Just recently, just this last week, they put up the first DLC information for Mass Effect 3, and it royally ticked people off the way that it was put up. I think that the Electronic Arts, they've either lost touch with what's actually going on, or they never had it to begin with. They just don't seem to have a clue what's actually going on, what people are actually thinking. They're in business to make money, yes. We know this. That's got to be their be-all and end-all, otherwise they go out of business. But the way that they're doing it... They couldn't be more insulting if they tried in many ways. And, yeah, it's like the whole Oceanic launch thing. It's like locking the door after the horses left and burned down the barn. It doesn't make a great deal of sense except to try to salve some egos, some people who were burned by the whole Red Zoner thing, which I still want that T-shirt. I still want that T-shirt.
Yeah, we're working on that. It's checks in the mail. And I just need to add, if you're listening, Electronic Arts, this is why I didn't let him fly down, and don't take his comments as my thoughts, because I still want my free sausage sandwich and glass of wine on Thursday.
Well, it's nothing against it's nothing against Electronic Arts in general.
I'm joking.
They do make good games. But their PR department, I swear, those guys have got to be smoking something besides tobacco.
I'll ask them on
Thursday.
They've
got to be.
I hope it's a red wine they're giving you, because, you know, red wine goes so well with sausage.
Oh, that's true. Good point. And I will ask them, though.
Wife just doesn't go.
Yeah, I'll ask Ask the PR guys if they're smoking stuff.
It's there are so many. There are so many things I could say to that, but I don't want to get fired.
Oh, red wines and sausages. Yeah, you could have fun with that on a whole.
That's his other website.
Yeah. redwinesandsausages.com. So anyway, that's
it. How to know.
Exactly. That's it for the news. Let's get on to some fat chewing. Breathe out, that's it. Now, I mentioned before with the Stephen Reed Q&A that I was really surprised when we, published the podcast and then the transcript of the podcast, most importantly, there was something latched onto by the official forums in particular, but a whole bunch of other blogs and stuff linked to it as well. And that was Stephen Reed's mentioned that they were seriously looking at a cross-server, and that's an important issue, cross-server looking for group tool. So I, you know, when Stephen said they went, yep, you beauty, worked well and wow, in my view, although don't say that to a lot of people because they get upset. And, you know, bring it on, great, because for someone like me that only puts in a few hours a week in-game, if I want to run a Flashpoint, then that's the way I'm going to do it. And I've found in WoW, when it's happened, yes, some people claim it wrecked the community, not what I saw as a casual gamer. Yes, you get a bunch of dickheads in a pug that, you know, either abuse you or you want to abuse them, but I found more often than not it's worked quite well. So, yeah, a lot of debate. Big whinges against a cross-server LFG tool. It's about the community. It's about the more high likelihood of getting idiots in groups. And then the fours for it is, you know, I'm more likely to pick up a group more quickly if I've only got limited time. So starting with you, Mark, LFG tool, cross-server, single server, don't care. You're a dedicated guild master. You just run guild runs. What do you think?
Look, I don't really see any problem with it. I mean, I've used the one on WoW, and I thought it was really good. It was quick to get groups going. I think a lot of people's complaints about it could be stemmed just, well, or should I say, put aside if they just didn't use it. You know, don't use it. If you don't want to use it, don't use it. Don't sit there and gripe about it. But I think for a lot of people, like as you said, they can only dedicate so much time, especially for those that aren't in guilds. Yeah, it's a good thing. I see absolutely no problem with it.
Mr. Simon.
Yeah, there's probably not a lot I can add to that, but I'll give it a shot. I suppose it all really comes down to being all things to all people. The cross-server tool is great for casuals and for people that believe that their server has a unique culture that's in some way special or different to any other server. I'm not sure that I've ever actually come across that situation, but assuming that that exists, I can see why they would not like it. But that's as Mark says, you don't like it, don't use it. Just keep looking for groups the same way you always have, because you can guarantee that there's going to be a bunch of other people who think exactly the same thing about the LFG tool, and they won't be using it either, and they'll be using the same old methods that they've been using. So you don't like it, don't use it. Really, what's the problem?
The only argument I saw against that, and I don't agree with it, I agree with you guys, that just don't use the damn thing, is the argument was, yeah, but I have a bunch of guildies that now use that rather than do guild runs, and the, you know, they're friends of mine and I'd rather they run with me. Well, and the response to that was, well, they can't be that bloody good a friend if they're willing to go a pug rather than run with you, or you just shit at what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, well, if you're crap, then yeah, but obviously you've got some legitimate concerns, and I feel sorry for you.
And I may feel differently, and I will get on to you, Ed, I promise. I may feel differently with the LFG tool after running it a few times with my pre-order crystal at level 50 and people boot me constantly, but at this stage I like it. Ed.
Check this guy.
Well, I do respect your arguments, and I do understand where you guys are coming from, but I've dealt with the LFG tool in WoW and in other games. City of Heroes comes to mind. And it takes something away from the game, in my personal opinion, if you don't have to run to where the flashpoint is. You're missing a lot of stuff. Now, I can see if you don't have time, if you only have a couple of hours to spend, you don't want to be spending, you know, 45 minutes or whatever running from place to place, especially somewhere like Tatooine or Hoth. Blech. But it just the whole point of the game is to go from point A to point B and see what's between the two places, right?
But yeah, there is, but there's a way around that. And in Cataclysm for WoW, what they did was for the new dungeons is that they required you to physically find them before you could run them via the LFG tool, which solves that issue. Because I agree, I'm happy to explore for the first time, but for the 28th time, you know, doing the same flashpoint, if I got to run for 45 minutes, I'm cancelling my subscription.
Yeah, exactly. There is a, I mean, I, oh, sorry, Ed, go on.
Sorry. Yeah, go on. Go ahead, Simon.
No, I was just going to say I completely agree with you because I'm a big explorer, and I think yeah, running from point A to point B is part of the whole role playing experience. But then bear in mind, there's also a lot of people complaining, especially in the Q&As, asking about ways of trimming down the amount of running through the orbital stations or the spaceports. So yeah, you do want to be able to travel and experience the environment, but how many times do you want to have to do that, or for the times where you don't have the time, where you don't feel like it, you know, a more express route is appreciated, I think, by some people.
Yeah. I remember in Knights of the Old Republic, the original, you could quick transit back to the ship and to change weapons, change people, that kind of thing. You couldn't do that in Knights of the Old Republic too. But I do remember using that a lot, especially later on in the game once I'd run through everywhere. So your points are taken. It just – for me, you know, I miss running – maybe I'm just weird. Oh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. I know I'm weird. But I enjoy running through the spaceports, running through the fleet, and listening or watching what people are saying. I like that.
I think, Ed, honestly, that's absolutely fine. My suggestion to you would be exactly what myself said earlier, was don't use it then. If you want to do the running all the way to the instance, whatever it may be, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. Mm. So, yeah, I just wouldn't use it if I was you.
But my question is, is it going to become the only way of doing it?
No, I doubt it.
No, I don't think so. It didn't kill groups in WoW.
No.
You know? I've been in various games, in City of Heroes in particular, that if you didn't use the looking for a dungeon machine, if you had to run to wherever it was, they kicked you from the group. And, I mean, every single group, if you wanted to run to it, you know, to fight, to run quests along the way, yes, if you're running every single side quest, that's different. But if you're running, you know, there were in City of Heroes, there were random acts of violence that the hero could, you know, intervene in, and so every so often you swoop down, you know, save the woman from the purse snatcher, and then go along your merry way. That was part of the immersion, and I missed that. When everybody started saying, oh, you know, get off, stop doing that, you know, we want to run the instance, okay, you know, I'll get there. And I go way up in the air, can't see people being mugged.
Yeah, it's a good point as far as the time thing. I mean, people do get impatient if you're late for an LFG group or whatever, but there's still lots of people, you know, putting out calls on Trade Chat and WoW for groups, and I've never had any big issues. And there's the obvious thing, though, in WoW that you can be summoned there too if there's more than two there, and there's not really the equivalent in Star Wars The Old Republic unless I'm insane. So, yeah, that's an interesting point, but I'll be surprised if it totally kills the ability to get there yourself.
They had something like that in the beta, but I don't think it ever worked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just – because I'm not even a bloody level 50 yet. So, I mean, yeah, as far as I know, you can't – with operations, can you summon people there or it's –
You can summon people from different instances of the same world.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But I don't think you can summon them directly to the entrance of the instance like you can in WoW.
That's what I thought.
I think isn't CyberTech? I think CyberTech get a gadget that they can summon people.
Oh, okay. See, that's what I was wondering about.
Sure. I haven't gotten CyberTech up that high yet with any of my characters.
And this is why you listen to Flashpoint, everyone. It's for all our in-depth expertise on the game.
Hello? Hello? What you say, man? I don't know. What you talking about, man? I don't know. Huh?
I mean, you know, I'm a level 33 and a half. I think I talked myself up saying 34. So, yeah, LFG, bring it on, I say, but can see your points, Ed, but you're still wrong.
Excuse me.
I just wanted to do a quick shout out. It's not so much a debate point, but just to, it's probably an unadulterated promo. Over the past week or 10 days, we put out a call for some more writers for the writing team at the site. And we've had three new people put their hands up and their stories. Two of the three have had them go live and the other one goes live tomorrow. So just a quick shout out to Tim Bachalka. And I'm sorry, Tim, I've never asked you how to pronounce your surname, but I think I've got that right. Who's going to be writing a Consular/Inquisitor weekly column. So something very close to my heart. And it's called Diplomatic Investigations, which is a play on words, Diplomatic Consular and Investigations Inquisitor. I thought that was very clever of Tim myself. I like a good pun or synonym. Tim Gow, who's going to do Fleet Pass, which is going to be a nice roundup every week of what's gone on in the Star Wars community, and that went live today.
So it's two Tims.
There's two Tims, and that's why you'll notice on the site now, and you guys may not have noticed this yet, but your names appear in full now because I didn't want confusion over the Tims. Mm. And last but not least, Rick Duff, who is going to write one called The Order, and it's going to be all about guilds and raid progression. He's got a lot of great plans for that over the coming weeks. So welcome to the three of you.
Good stuff.
In addition to the wonderful writers that are on this podcast. Anything else you guys want to debate? Review a CD, review a movie, talk Star Wars. Who's watched the 3D Phantom Menace?
Not me.
No.
Resounding silence.
As it should be.
It's bad enough in two dimensions.
Yeah, that's true.
I may go and watch like New Hope and Empire and Return when they come out in 3D, but episodes 1, 2, and 3, nah.
Forget it.
Also, so are they seriously doing 4, 5, and 6 in 3D? How do they pull that off?
They're going to, yes.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, the same masterful way they managed to turn the 2D Clash of the Titans into a 3D Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
Oh. Yeah. Be afraid, people. Be very afraid.
And I haven't done my weekly shout-out for Gail. I, as far as TV shows and stuff, I finally watched all the Game of Thrones episodes, thanks to Gail. And, yeah, very highly recommend that series if you haven't watched it.
It's good, yeah.
So, have Ed or Simon, have you watched it?
Yes.
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 I got out of the George R. R. Martin books. I mean, they're incredible books. They're absolutely marvelous books. But he kills off all his characters.
Yeah.
Every time you turn around, you turn around, and this primary character is, you know, this has been the focus of one book, and all of a sudden he's dead. And then she is a primary character, and all of a sudden she's dead. And then this other person's a primary character, and all of a sudden he's dead. You know, who is the primary character?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good story, though. And what I like is it's very I don't like it because it's gory, but it's very realistic for what you'd imagine that sort of era was like. And in a gender-equal way, there's lots of boobies and penises. So for me, it's the boobies, but for female viewers, it might be the penises or not, depending on your orientation. There's lots of realistic nudity, and that's always a good thing, I say.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, season two's coming soon.
That's right. So you'll get prim and proper. I'm the only one that's out there talking about genitalia, and you'll clam up. Like, yeah, let him be the sicko.
Well, we know you're a sicko, David.
So anyway. Game of Thrones. So nothing else, boys, before we wrap it up?
Well, all I can say is that I have pre-ordered a collector's edition of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, we're going to have a chat about whether we talk about that damn game, because the temptation will be strong. I know, particularly for you, Ed. I'm not sure about you other guys.
I've got it pre-ordered.
Yeah. We might have to have a small
segment.
There
is no temptation. There is no temptation. It will be done.
If we all get it, we'll need to do some co-op. Because, yeah, there's multiplayer co-op in it.
Have you played the multiplayer co-op yet?
Yeah.
In the demo? Have either of the other of you guys?
I've never played the game.
I've resisted the temptation.
God. I started it, and I'm like, you know, this is, you know, Mass Effect, a single-player game. This is going to suck. This is going to absolutely suck. You know, there can't be anything good about this. And then I start playing the multiplayer demo, and I'm like, oh, my God. I've had more fun with that multiplayer co-op demo than I think I've had with any other multiplayer thing online.
With even the possible...
Even do... Well...
Yeah, see...
Consider what you're saying, young man.
It's been so long since I last played Doom 2. Even the Old Republic. The Old Republic is a barrel of laughs. It's just absolutely, well, when I can play it, when the bank gets off their duff and actually gets my card to me so I can give the information to EA and they can actually do everything that they were supposed to do in the first place. I really was so surprised by what they did with this and so impressed by what they did with this. It literally feels like you dropped into the Mass Effect universe. And not now, just you.
When you say they, you mean EA Games that you were just slating earlier on?
No, BioWare. There's a difference. EA Games may have jumped on the bandwagon, but BioWare are the ones who created this thing. They created the Mass Effect universe. And while EA may have slithered in to snag what profits they can, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in that they've not destroyed it yet. We'll see.
So there you go. There's the first Mass Effect conversation, and we'd love to hear from you if you want to hear a bit of Mass Effect discussion. My tendency is just to send Ed and Mark off to do their own podcast.
Well, I'm just going to say one thing about it. Consider Mass Effect MMORPG. Will it happen? That's all
no,
I'm saying.
I don't think so.
Let's make that a topic for another week.
There is one other thing I was going to bring up, actually, which I forgot all about. And it does kind of touch upon both Star Wars and Mass Effect. Is Drew Kropotkin has left BioWare. He did the story for Mass Effect. He was also lead story or writer for The Old Republic. He is responsible for the Darth Bane novels, the Revan novel. Anyway, he left BioWare to pursue other things, I believe. It just happened in the last week, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it did. And that, there was someone else that left as well. There were two, I think. So, yes, yeah, big loss. So I'm not sure they got to replace them. Someone, I don't know, Dean Koontz.
It was saying that he was writing another novel for The Old Republic, and he is going to finish it. So I don't think he's like cut all ties. So I'm not saying that there won't be another novel from him in the future, but yeah, I think he's wanting to pursue his own things in the future. So yeah, he's actually left BioWare.
So yes, fail Drew. Anything else, boys, before we wrap it up?
I would just recommend that if anyone hasn't seen Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, they should go and rent it or buy it or.
Yeah, I must
it's
watch that.
Well worth seeing. It's hilarious. Hilarious.
If you want a hilarious movie, try Megamind.
Yeah, it's good too. I watched that in 3D. So there you go. It'd be better than Phantom Menace in 3D anyway.
Anything is better than Phantom Menace in 3D.
That's right.
Val Morgan commercials are better than the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, everyone. Oh, Ned, I forgot to mention too, you mentioned your bank problems. I've just done a bit of a Google, and apparently the bank that owns the corporation that owns your bank is Ubisoft, so that might explain a lot of your subscription issues. Thanks, everyone. We're going to wrap it up for another week. Follow us on Facebook, and it's now easy to remember. It's facebook.com/SWTOROZ. Same for Twitter, twitter.com/SWTOROZ. Our email is contact@toroz.com.au. Got a contact form as well. Would love to hear from you. We'll be back for episode 27 in 2 weeks, and we look forward to reporting to you from the launch on Thursday. Thanks to you three gentlemen.
Pleasure.
Yep, pleasure as always.
Keep cool, Mark.
All I can say to you, David, is this. No!
Yeah. Well, you were going to join Ubisoft Bank anyway.
No, I'm not. Never, ever.
You need to Google. I think you'll find your bank's owned by Ubisoft.
Well, I've already pirated 2 Ubisoft games. I'm never going to pay them money ever again.
See, we've got that for the subpoena now for future.
Go for it.
Excellent. All right, boys, thank you very much, and see you all in a fortnight.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was...